Welcome once again to the Greater Careers series. My name is Flores Tevez, and I'm the Greater IBM Operations Manager and Producer. Today, we're hosting personal brand strategist and expert, Bernadette Martin. And Bernadette is joining us live from Paris, France, this evening for her. Bernadette is the author of Storytelling About Your Brand Online and Offline, and she's also the founder of Visibility Branding. Bernadette excels at how to fuse your personal branding and storytelling to make the most compelling presentation of you as a brand. And that's what the subject of her conversation with you today will be. The first part of our webinar will be an interview session between Bernadette and Paula Patinella. Paula Patinella is currently employed by IBM. She is a Greater IBMer. She's part of the IBM Human Resources Center for Learning and Development, and she manages capability centers that focus on critical capabilities and behaviors essential to career growth at IBM. Paula, welcome this morning. And I'm going to, just before handing over the phone, just ask all of you to please be sure to that you are on mute. We have a bit of static and some repetition on the phone. So thank you very much, and Paula, welcome, and if you could introduce us to Bernadette.
Thank you for your introduction, Flor. Welcome to everybody. I'm very pleased to be here today and to be able to share a little bit about the journey that Bernadette took me on to explore my story about personal brands using insights from her book. So, Bernadette, I know you have a lot to share with us today. What's on the agenda?
Okay, well, first, bonjour, hello, and thank you, Flor and Paula, for the introduction. I'm really delighted to be here. I want to thank you all for joining the webinar. I understand it's an impressive turnout, which could be due to the fact that the subject is about you and how to message your personal brand through storytelling. I understand as members of the Greater IBM Connection Network, you are a cross-section of current, former, and retired IBMers. Well, the information I'm going to share with you today is relevant to all of you, whether you're a current employee at any level at IBM, or you may be a former employee and alumni and could be in career transition, or you may have already made a transition and are an entrepreneur, or perhaps you are with another company or retired. I'm really addressing the gamut today, and I plan to shed some light on how to make your brand visible online and offline through storytelling, and specifically on LinkedIn. So yes, we do have a packed hour ahead of us. So what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to start off with the impact of storytelling, and this is supported even by recent neurological research. Then we're going to talk about what is a brand. I want to be sure to establish a clear definition of this before making a segue to the brand called you or your personal brand. And then on to how we're telling our story online and offline and the plethora of physical and virtual opportunities and situations where we can tell our story. And then towards the end of the webinar, we will go into LinkedIn. As for many of you, it's your professional window to the world and an ideal place to tell your story in that summary statement that we'll get to. So this will be followed by a short break, and I'll take some questions. And then it's story time, where we have four makeovers. Paula is one of them, as she mentioned. And there will be four LinkedIn makeovers of profiles of four IBMers. Three are current employees, and one is an alumni who will be joining us live in the call. And then wrap up with the Q&A.
Well, Bernadette, could you tell us, why are stories so powerful?
Yes, well, stories are really a powerful form of communication. Why? Well, it's because stories, they combine facts and figures and details, and combining that with emotions and colors and imagery, they create synapses between the left and the right half of your brain. So this makes stories memorable. Now, you know, storytelling, it's been around since the beginning of time. It was, you know, the primary medium for passing along culture, history, and lessons learned. Even today, there's research, the anthropologists claim that 70% of everything we learn is actually through stories. So it kind of begs the question, what is the definition of stories? Well, I consider its basic framework to be a beginning, middle, and an end. However, as you probably know, there are good stories. You've heard bad stories. You've heard boring stories. Well, ideally, a story would have a stimulating beginning, an engaging middle, and a compelling ending that leaves you wanting to hear more. And stories can play out, as I showed in the previous slide, it can play out in your oral, your written, your visual, in visual sense, in a book, in a movie, in a poem, in theater, in a comic book, in a song, in a dance, in a cartoon, in an epic, in a ballad, in your elevator pitch, in your biography, in a video, in an interview, in your LinkedIn profile, on your blog, on your website, on your Facebook page, on Twitter. Yes, stories play out across a host of media. So on this slide where you see the image of my book, you see the cover of my book with the words, "Once Upon a Time," which may have conjure up one of your favorite stories. In fact, Paula, what was your favorite story as a child?
Cinderella was a favorite of mine, and I think as an adult I still enjoy modern interpretations of the classic Cinderella story.
Yeah. Yes, one of my favorites as well.
I was just going to say, how about you?
Okay, well, actually, my favorite story as a child was Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. I just, the long blonde hair. I guess because I had short, curly hair, I wanted the long blonde hair. And who cared about the prince at the bottom of the tower? It was the hair thing. But on the cover of my book, you might notice that I have the word story in various languages. Well, the reason for that, it might be a little bit hard to read on the screen, but the reason for that is that research indicates that across cultures and languages, the first most commonly uttered words by children include the word story. Usually it's first mama or papa, but story is in like the top five. Well, neurological research validates the amazing power of storytelling. In fact, scientific evidence establishes that story learning enhances memory retention up to sevenfold. Why? Because remembering with stories is easier than remembering with sentences and word lists and bullet points followed by a host of action verbs. That sound like your resume by chance? Which typically does not have storied content. Our brains are actually wired to process information as stories. Through stories, we're able to process large amounts of information in small chunks and store it in memory. In fact, they came up with this term called event structure perception. I coined that term to identify that. Well, more importantly, stories help us to connect emotionally with another person. Well, taking storytelling to another level, how are company, product, service, and association brands, and even IBM, how are they using storytelling to message their brands? Well, looking at these logos, think of the stories around these brands. Could be stories about the founder, Walt Disney, for example. And, of course, we all have our favorite Disney story, as Paula just verbalized. What about American Express? Stories are used in their ads. I remember after I did my MBA, I was hired by American Express in their traveler's check division. And at the time, they were running the ads about, the distraught tourist who loses her traveler's checks, only to be relieved when she quickly gets them replaced. Why? Because she chose American Express traveler's checks, of course. Well, a story unfolds, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And emotionally, we connect with the tourist. There's drama. There's suspense. And when she gets reimbursed, we feel relieved, engaging, captivating, with a defining ending. And the story establishes an emotional connection, makes it memorable. What about Nike? May conjure up some stories of the founders. You've heard of Bill Bowerman, who began experimenting with making an outer sole for running shoes that would grip a track more effectively. Well, one Sunday morning, he poured liquid urethane into his wife's waffle iron, and voila, the waffle sole was created. Of course, there are many success stories as well as athletes and teams who sport Nike products. Well, what about nonprofits and NGOs, non-government organizations, and associations? Well, they use stories as well. Kiva, for example, you see the logo for Kiva is one of my favorite nonprofits, where they combine microfinance with the internet, connecting people to alleviate poverty through lending. Well, if you go on the Kiva site, it is chock full of stories, not only about the entrepreneurs who you can lend to, also they have their photos as well, but also the stories about their founders, the founders of Kiva. As well as a Kiva lender, and I know that many of IBMers are Kiva lenders. I did a search on LinkedIn. Many of you are Kiva lenders. You can, and as a Kiva lender, you can post your story on the Kiva site. Kiva, by the way, is my chosen nonprofit where proceeds from sales of my book go towards financing entrepreneurs in developing countries. And IBM, well, how is IBM using stories? Well, I actually went onto the IBM site on a search. This is for stories, something that's not unusual for me to do. And I was not disappointed. It took a few clicks, but I landed on the Smarter Planet Leadership series of stories that play out in multimedia that show how organizations of all sizes are transforming the way the world works by turning worthy concepts into working reality. Well, I found the stories captivating and engaging. So, anyways, I've convinced you, hopefully, of the power of storytelling, and I've talked about some brands in reference to corporate and product brands. But what is a brand? Well, my definition, you can go on Wikipedia and look in various resources for a definition of what is a brand. But this is a definition that I put together, which is, well, you might consider it a bit heavy, so I wanted to leave it up on the screen for a bit and walk you through it. A brand can be a product, a place, Paris is a brand, product, company, a service is a brand, an association, and a person. That's you. You're a brand as well. And by a personal brand, I don't just mean Oprah or Donald Trump or Madonna or Lady Gaga. We are all personal brands. And a brand is an intangible image. If we could have the definition still on the screen, please. A brand is an intangible image. It's a perception. It's something we can't touch. And how is it created? It's created by a unique bundle or accumulation of emotional, rational, and sensory experiences or touch points. And I'm going to refer to the term touch points throughout my presentation, and you'll see how it plays out with your brand. And an effective way to message your brand, brands in general, is through effective storytelling. So to further clarify the definition of what is a brand, I thought it'd be helpful to say what is not a brand, and that would be a commodity. So looking at this slide, you have a black T-shirt that is branded and it's a Nike, something that is not differentiated. Add the Nike swoosh and voila, a black T-shirt is branded, and you can't help but to associate an image or perception with this T-shirt that you now see with the logo. Why? Because you've had touch points, whether emotional, rational, or sensory, that are associated with the brand Nike. Same with having a simple cup of coffee. Starbucks has turned it into a sensory experience. You walk into a Starbucks cafe, also known as the third place, because it's not the office or the home, and you're surrounded by sensory touch points, by experiences, the smell of the coffee, the taste, the decor, the music, the friendly baristas. It's all orchestrated. It's a sensory orchestrated experience. Well, all this contributes to the image or perception that you have when you see this coffee cup with the Starbucks logo. Amazing. In fact, Paula, what are some of your favorite brands?
Well, I can certainly relate to the Starbucks experience. And it's something that you carry over to other places, even if you're not in Starbucks. If you're in a coffee shop, you may say you're in Starbucks, so they're getting free advertising even when you're not in a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. And for personal brands, the same applies. We are not commodities. We are all unique. And as for the touch points for a personal brand, or to narrow it down, your professional brand, the list is long. Your appearance, your resume, your business card, your website, your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook, the brands you wear, the car you drive, what people say about you, references, even your phone message is a touch point. It's an experience that people have with your brand. So going back to my rather heavy definition, these touch points are experiences that one has with your brand. And this accumulation is intangible. It's an image or a perception.
Well, Bernadette, in your book, you refer to the process of personal branding. Can you explain to us what that is?
Yes, and it's something that I took the makeovers through to a certain extent. When going through the process of personal branding, you identify, clarify, and communicate what makes you unique. So in the makeovers that follow shortly, you will see how this plays out. It's a process. And oftentimes it takes an external source, such as a coach or a friend or a mentor, where you get feedback, where they can help you to identify what is unique about the brand called you. And further to that, how to effectively message your brand in the physical world or offline and in the virtual world or online.
All right, so we all have had experiences with strong brands and some less memorable brands. What can we do to create a strong personal brand?
Yes, well, there's three key words that all happen to begin with C, but the three C's of a strong brand are clarity, consistency, and constancy. And this applies to product, service, corporate, and personal brands as well. So to create a strong personal brand, it's critical to be clear and authentic about who you are. You must understand what is unique about you. In addition to clarity, you want to be consistent across all touch points. As you can see here in the slide, not very consistent, assuming it's the same guy. And thirdly, you want to be constantly visible to your target. Well, take some well-known personal brands. Richard Branson, for example, he is clearly the risk taker. Okay, he's not your typical, you know, CEO in a conservative suit. Not only as regards to his business ventures, but his also his sporting escapades. What about Madonna? She is consistent in that she's ever changing and reinventing herself. The chameleon brand. And Oprah, well, she's constantly visible and in front of her target.
All right. I understand the impact of storytelling and personal branding. And how do we make all of this come together in telling our online and offline story?
Well, yes, we are all storytellers. When you think of it, in a typical day, think about your interactions with your friends, your families, your colleagues throughout the day. When you get to work, you tell a colleague about the traffic accident perhaps that you saw on the highway. Ah, that's the story. You meet a friend for lunch and tell them about the holiday you're planning. Aha, a story. Around the water cooler, you recount the movie you saw the night before. Another story. Well, if you think about it, you'll realize that most of your communications, whether professional or personal, are stories. And just to say again the statistic I mentioned earlier, anthropologists believe that 70% of what we learn comes from stories. But what about on a more professional level? During an interview, recruiters, and I'm sure many on the call have interviewed candidates, you know, HR professionals, recruiters, they are just begging for stories. Good ones, that is, well-structured, easy to digest with a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, a story that's captivating, engaging. And when you think of it, the top interview questions, by the way, there's a list of the top interview questions in my book, or the most often asked interview question, which are begging for stories. In fact, Paula, can you guess what the most often asked question is during an interview?
What made you choose this company?
I'm sorry?
What made you choose this company?
Oh, okay. That's right. So that could be a lead into a story. In fact, the most often asked questions, and I'm sure many of you, since you, most of you have been in interview situations, is tell me about yourself. Okay, well, that question and lots of the top 10 interview questions are all great lead-ins for a good story. What about at networking events? In opportunity to tell stories, in the elevator pitch, one of the images on the slide is in the elevator, or your 60-second commercial. To explain the elevator pitch expression, if it's unfamiliar to some of you, you imagine yourself in an elevator with the person that you want to impress. Now, this could be a client, the CEO of the company you want to work for, the head of a department where you'd like to be transferred. So you're going up to say, oh, I don't know, the 100th floor. So a short 60 seconds, you have a captive audience. Well, what are you going to say? What's your story or your 60-second commercial? Well, storytelling exists offline as well as online as well. So it's no longer around the fire, huddled after a day of bison hunting, that we're telling our stories. Now we can choose from countless sophisticated and easy-to-use platforms to get our story out to the world. And as you're all IBMers, I don't need to preach to the converted. As you all realize the implications that Web 2.0 and technological innovations have on the way we interact, connect, and communicate, we have so many ways to connect now with our target and build a relationship across various media. You know, it can actually be overwhelming. At another level, it can be an opportunity. But this social media hub of choices can be daunting. I mean, there's Facebook, there's LinkedIn, there's Twitter, there's YouTube, I mean, there's Second Life, virtual worlds, blogs. We need to find and select with not only intention but a strategy the appropriate channels. So these are all platforms where stories are told. For the greater IBM connection, you have the blue pages, as I understand. And on LinkedIn, you have the summary statement. On Twitter, you have all of, 140 characters to tell your story. On Amazon, by the way, on Amazon, here's a tip if you want to increase your Google juice. If you write a review on Amazon, you can then post your profile or story on Amazon. And believe me, it'll pop up when you're Googled. Speaking of Google, some say if you don't show up on Google, you don't exist. Well, from headhunters to clients to recruiters to partners to colleagues, you are being Googled. And I'm sure all of you Google people all of the time. So it's really important now more than ever to pay attention to your Google results. In fact, there's some really interesting statistics, just a couple of which are the following. 83% of recruiters use search engines. 43% say that they eliminate candidates based on what they find. And some people even say that the resume is dead. Why? Because people are going elsewhere to find out information about you. On this slide is talks about your Google quotient. Now, in the information that you received about the webinar, there was a link there where you could figure out your Google quotient, your GQ. It only takes a couple minutes, but that was in the webinar description. If you haven't already, you might want to go again. But in your GQ, you find out if you're digitally disastrous, disguised, distinct, or dabbling. And it's based on three statistics that you can click through and find your results. You might want to make a note of that.
I really enjoyed doing that evaluation. It was fun.
Yeah. You were digitally distinct, I believe.
I was top right corner. Yes.
yes, I remember. That was one of the first things I had you do.
And Bernadette, why do you think LinkedIn is so important?
Yes, well, LinkedIn is so important because it's a good question, because for many professionals, probably many of you on the call, you don't have your own website or blog, perhaps, when you're Googled, but you're on LinkedIn, so when you're Googled, your LinkedIn profile pops up on the first page. So people are going to go there because it's a well-known site and people expect to find information about you. LinkedIn, as you may know, has over 75 million members with a mission to connect the world's professionals to accelerate their success. So it's a professional platform where you can be found, introduced, and collaborate. And they're constantly adding features and applications to make it an even richer and deeper source of information and for achieving their mission. And I try to keep up to date on all those features applications because it's really and helps so I can help clients to navigate around. But it really is an ideal place to tell a good story. So on this next slide, we have your colleague Willem's profile. I assume that most of you, not all of you, are on LinkedIn, so you're familiar with this page. But as far as, although there's a lot to say about LinkedIn for the purpose of this webinar, I'm just going to focus on the summer area. Why? Because that is where you can tell your story. And you know what? You have 2,000 characters. So that's about, you know, 3 or 4 paragraphs. And I suggest using the maximum. Here in the summary, which falls just under the blue box, is where you can tell your story. Now, this is not where you want to cut and paste part of your resume or input a list of bullet points. This is where you can message your personal brand with storied content. But people, maybe you, joined LinkedIn, posted some information a while ago, and haven't looked at it since. If you consider that this is your professional window to the world, and your target, whether clients, partners, recruiters, they're landing there, it's important to pay attention to what they find. I always like to ask when giving a presentation on LinkedIn, you know, how much time did you spend on putting together your LinkedIn profile? So, Paul, I'm going to ask you, how much time, not the one that we've worked on recently, but, you know, way back when you first posted your LinkedIn profile, how much time did you spend?
As long as it took me to fill in the blanks.
Oh, and you're quick at that, right?
It wasn't very long, no.
Okay, well, in fact, Paula, when you're Googled, your LinkedIn profile comes up, I think, number one on your Google search results. So, yes, I usually get a range of between, 10 minutes, maybe an hour. You know, then I ask, well, how much time did you take to get ready this morning compared to how much time you spent putting together your professional window to the world? Just something to consider.
Well, as one of your makeover projects, I can attest to the challenge of telling your own story. As a matter of fact, when Bernadette first started this, she told me 2,000 characters, but I heard 2,000 words, and I wrote a lot. But the content, the exercise was fun, and actually the content was something I could use to pare down and fill in other parts of the profile. So it was a good exercise to tell my longer story.
Yes, actually, I was very pleased when you came up with such a large amount of content, because I suggest, you know, starting large and then narrowing it down. But yes, what can be challenging is developing the content. And on this next slide are some possible inclusions, some of which you will see in a concrete way when we get to the makeovers. So what are you going to say? Well, the beauty of the bio, a term I love to use, is that there's no set structure of the bio as with your resume, which is chronological in nature. So on top of that, it is not story context. So you're really free to write the bio or your summary, your story, in you know, the way that you would like to. So in developing the content, you want to include, of course, your experience, your credentials, your degrees, training, certifications, your leadership skills. Include information about you know, the different dimensions of leadership, that showcase your vision, your values. Also, you want to include your emotional intelligence or EQ skills. And in fact, they call EQ skills the new yardstick. And that's how you're being evaluated versus IQ. So EQ, you know, around your self-awareness, your management, your ability to inspire and influence others. These are all stories that you can start to weave into your bio. Another term for EQ is soft skills. Also, you can weave in your interests. Also, your call to action. Why are you on LinkedIn? Is it to be visible? And it's to be visible to whom? Or maybe it's just a place to collaborate, to be found, or to share information. And also, you want to identify your direction, where you want to go, and include your languages. How about your PSR, your personal social responsibility, as opposed to you're familiar with the term CSR, corporate social responsibility. IBM is strong in that area. Your volunteer activities. And some of this will come out in the makeovers. Of course, you want to encase the information you choose to share in a well-structured manner. By the way, the bio content you develop can be used in other situations as well. It can be tweaked, shortened, adapted to the target placement and usage. But for the purposes of this webinar, the focus is the LinkedIn summary. So we're going to kind of keep it to this 2,000-character size. But I suggest using all 2,000 characters. Why? Why not? I mean, you have a lot to say. Start with an interview. To start with an overview paragraph is a good idea, which is cumulative and messages the key points, and then follow up that first paragraph with theme paragraphs that build on the main points that you mentioned. You'll see how this plays out shortly. But first, I want to identify the process that led to writing the summary and what the makeovers went through to reach the point of actually putting pen to paper or cursor to screen, as the case may be. So here is the makeover process, roughly, that we went through with each of the makeovers. First, I wanted them to identify their GQ or Google Quotient, then identify where their LinkedIn location, where it appears. And then I did a LinkedIn assessment. I'll show you what that entails in the next slide. And then I did an inventory. What's in their career toolkit in terms of their resume? I look at their resume, any references, any assessments. And I'm sure many of you have gone through, say, the Myers-Briggs or 360. So looking at taking inventory and gathering all that information to see what exists already. And then doing a personal brand audit. This is a tool that I have created where I discovered the goals, you know, the call to action, the direction, the target, you know, what all these things that are key to writing your bio. And then I do an interview, and this is a fun part for me, and what I really enjoyed with the four makeovers is the interview, which is usually the first session, where it's a discovery session. And on my part, it takes a lot of listening and also asking the right questions, and I take a lot of notes. Also part of the process is developing accomplishment stories, which is also a tool that I developed. I call it the visibility branding storytelling tool, which is a way to create and structure stories around your key skills and attributes. And then finally, pen to paper. And the drafts usually go through three or four with, you know, I do some editing in between. Well, on the next slide is just what I do in terms of the LinkedIn assessment. It's a scale of, you know, 1 to 5. 1 is dismal, 5 is fabulous. And I just do kind of a brief LinkedIn assessment of, you know, their heading, their that blue box on the LinkedIn profile, their photo. I do an assessment of their summary, you know, the structure, flow, grammar, content. Of course, they get a 0 if there's nothing there. I look at their experience section on their LinkedIn profile, number of connections. Usually, you know, it's really after about 60 connections that things start to happen with LinkedIn. And recommendations, I suggest 5 to 8. You know, from a variety of different positions. And also I look at how they're using the applications and features and the use of groups. But all of that is more for maybe perhaps another webinar where we could get more into the use of LinkedIn. But today we're actually going to focus more on the summary. So the accomplishment storytelling tool that I mentioned is, here's just an outline of what it entails, where I ask, and I have had the candidates come up with a short title for an accomplishment story. And there's some inspiring questions in the book that kind of trigger these stories. But identify 3 key words or attributes that the story showcases, and then identify, you know, the situation, the challenge, the action, the results, and any testimonials that occurred as a result of the story. So I like to have, I suggest, you know, 3 to 5 really great, strong accomplishment stories have in your back pocket to be used in interview situations, and some of these can also be weaved into your bio or the LinkedIn summaries. Okay, so this is where let's do a chime check. I think we're going to go straight to the stories and leave the questions for the end. As Paula said, we are packing quite a lot into this webinar. So we're going to go straight to the stories, and now it is story time. Even the word story is powerful. In fact, a psychologist that I interviewed for my book, she mentioned that she learned over time the power of just the word story in giving a lot of presentations. And she noticed that when she would preface her presentations with saying, okay, I'm going to tell you a story, people actually became more alert. But even that word story sets expectations. Well, I just used it quite a few times here, and it is story time. So let's start with the brand. Well, these are the stories you're going to hear, the makeover subjects. The before, we have Molly Evans, Joseph, and Paula, who the 3 of them are on the call, and Christine. The other makeover, unfortunately, she can't join us today, but I will be talking about the brand called Christine. But we're going to first start with Molly. And here's a shot of the before and after. So just briefly, and it's not really clear in your screen, so I'll just make a few points. First of all, for her, she came out actually digitally distinct. Her LinkedIn location was on the first page. Actually, I did a search on her on LinkedIn. There actually, I didn't know if you know this, Molly, but there's 10 other Molly Evans. But you appeared first on LinkedIn. I think it's because you've been working so much on your LinkedIn profile that it pops up first. But I gave you an overall assessment of about 2.5. I saw, and it may not be clear, but I saw an inconsistency in your before in your title. Right under your name there, you have marketing executive, but then where you have your title for current, it said marketing manager, so I was confused. Your photo, well, I felt it could be improved. You seem to be like flying off the page. I want to say, Molly, come back. Also, it's low resolution. And actually, if you get close, there's actually somebody else in your picture, Molly. But she changed that, as you can see. Her experience section was pretty good. Kind of gave short descriptions. Her summary was, as you can see it there, was pretty short. After interviewing her, I said, you know, Molly, there's so much to say, more to say about you. But at least she had something there. And her number of connections, 285, excellent. Number of recommendations, 2. I suggest, you know, trying to get more. But the ones that she had were of good quality. So it's quality versus quantity. And she had some excellent recommendations, which said more than, oh, you know, Molly was a good employee. Something you want to bear in mind, because you might be asked to write a recommendation for someone, and you want to make it a good one. As far as use of applications and features, you did in your use the feature of posting an Amazon book. And groups, you're a member of 13, 5 for IBM. And so also you're a member of eMarketing Group and also a Labrador Retriever Group. That was kind of interesting. Actually, I did some research on IBM in general on LinkedIn. I found that there are 1,288 IBM groups, if you can believe it. And the first one that pops up, and this is kudos to Floor, was the Greater IBM Connection Network with 49,000 members. So that was kind of interesting. But anyways, so Molly is a member of several IBM groups. Well, what is Molly's story, and what makes her unique? Well, we weaved this in after going through the process. We weaved in what makes Molly unique in her summary, which is on the next slide. And here you can see, you can get it, but as well, you know, I'm not going to read through the whole summary, but you can look at their LinkedIn profiles you know, outside of the webinar. But I just want to point out a few things that draw on some of what I said previously. So in this first sentence, start with her full name, and we give a cumulative number of years of experience, 15 years of experience. And what's unique about Molly is that she has a background in 3 different areas: technology, foreign affairs, and the public sector. So she messages that right up front. She also includes in this first paragraph her academic credentials, an MBA and BA in communication. So I look at this first paragraph as like a snapshot. If people weren't to read any further than that first paragraph, they would get a pretty good idea of Molly's background. Because research has shown, at least with resumes, if you can guess what the average amount of time people spend on resumes, about 8 seconds. So assuming it's about the same for your LinkedIn profile, they might not get through the whole summary, much less all the experience. Anyways, so building on the summary snapshot, then we collaboratively created 3 following paragraphs that are themed. And like I said, you can read this later, but the second paragraph is themed around her IT experience and her last 10 years with IBM. The third paragraph goes into her public affairs experience with the Japanese government and the embassy. So it's really interesting there. And the fourth paragraph goes into a theme about her work in the public sector and her with the U.S. Department of Commerce. And then she ends it with kind of a personal note. So the wrap-up in the last paragraph there is brings in references or quotes, how people describe Molly as a Renaissance-type person. and identify some of her soft skills. That's a nice wrap-up. So, Molly, would you like to add anything about your about the process or about your LinkedIn profile or how you feel about the new brand, Molly?
Hi, Bernadette. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I highly enjoyed this experience of working with Bernadette, and I must say that I learned a lot of things from her. I, like many IBMers and just, you know, everybody in the workforce these days, are very focused on my job, and I don't always take the time to pay attention to some things outside of my job. So having the opportunity to work on my LinkedIn profile and understanding how I could strengthen it through Bernadette's guidance was very, very helpful. So thank you, Bernadette.
Well, you're welcome. It was a pleasure finding out more about you through the process. Well, let's move on to Joseph and the brand called Joseph Katuki. And here you'll see his before and after. You can see that his summary is quite short. I think he maybe, of the 2,000 characters, maybe only used about 500. So, but after the interview process, I found out there was just so much more to say about Joseph, particularly around his PSR and his vast experience in different areas. So I gave him a 2 for his LinkedIn assessment. He was digitally, and Joseph, maybe later you can confirm, I think you were digitally disguised, as I believe. But your LinkedIn profile did come up first. So when you're Googled, people would land on his LinkedIn profile. So he went through the process in terms of the audit, the interview, and the interview was quite interesting. We spent quite a lot of time talking about your goals and your direction. And Joseph really used the accomplishment tool that I mentioned earlier in the presentation, the visibility branding storytelling tool. And he crafted, I think, 3, maybe more excellent stories that may not all be shown in his LinkedIn profile, but are excellent for other uses in interview situations, because Joseph is in career transition. And by the way, at the beginning of when I first started working with Joseph, he had 2 LinkedIn profiles. Well, let's go to his summary statement so you can read what was written in the summary for Joseph. And here Joseph's situation is that if you just look at his resume, it looks like his background is primarily as a financial analyst. But in fact, he has had experience as a project manager, and in fact, that is his direction. So we wanted to message that up front. So that's why he mentions that in his first sentence, where he has experience in program management. That's the direction he wants to go. And he also brings in an external feedback or testimonials in his first paragraph. And again, using the cumulative number for his cumulative years of experience in that first paragraph, as I mentioned before, it's a snapshot. Building on and taking the key points mentioned in his summary, in his first paragraph, we go on to the second paragraph where he mentions his experience. And he brings up key brand names. If you have some key brand names in your experience, you know, message those. They will resonate with your target. He mentioned in the interview process, he mentioned the term that, you know, he's worked with different companies, different brands, ranging from soup to satellite. And I thought, aha, that's catchy. That's very descriptive. Let's use that in his summary. And in fact, it refers to the fact that one of his clients that he worked with was Campbell Soup. And then another one was Lockheed Martin and their global telecommunications. So it actually is applicable. Moving on to his third paragraph, here is where his academic background is messaged, which is quite extensive. Not only does he have a couple of degrees, but he admits he's a self-professed lifelong learner. And he's constantly going through training, and he's, I think, in the process of going through 2 certifications around project management. so a true lifelong learner. And this is very important to message. The following paragraph talks about his PSR, his personal social responsibility, and having interviewed Joseph and knowing more about this area, this is really just a small part of really the scale and scope of what he's involved in terms of or volunteer activities. And not just at a surface level. Joseph gets really involved in the charities, and he's a SCORE counselor. He's a VP leadership development for the Project Management Institute chapter. So he's really involved and takes leadership roles in his network. So this is very important to message. And then ending the very last part there, the very last sentence, is his CTA, or what I call the call to action, which is key here for Joseph. He is in job search mode, and he makes it very obvious, which wasn't obvious in his before summary statement. Here he makes it obvious that he's seeking program management opportunities with leadership responsibilities in organizations leveraging technological innovation for strategic advantage. Very clear. So, Joseph, would you like to comment on your process?
Sure. Hi, Bernadette, and hi to all my fellow IBMers. At the start of this, I knew that personal branding was important but didn't really understand the process, and Bernadette took me through that process very painlessly, and it was actually an enjoyable process. And I also learned some good LinkedIn strategy. There's a lot of good territory there in the summary section of LinkedIn where you could really leverage that to your advantage, and I was clearly under-leveraging that. I had basically just pasted in what was on my resume into that section, and I'm a lot happier with what's there now and how that's meshing, seeing what I'd like to be doing, and also about my background. So, I'd highly recommend folks consider working with Bernadette to up their LinkedIn game.
Well, thank you. Well, like I mentioned, Joseph really took some of the tools that we use, particularly the visibility branding storytelling tool, and really just took away with it and really developed some great stories that, like I said, can be used for interview situations and can be weaved in different versions of your bio. Because you don't just have one standard bio. You tweak it constantly, and you have different versions depending on the placement, usage, and also the target. Okay, well, our next makeover is Paula, and here is her before and after. And Paula is actually, her Google quotient was digitally distinct. And her LinkedIn profile came up number 3 on the first page of her Google results. I gave her, I think I would give you a 1.5 on your LinkedIn assessment. Why? Because you didn't have any summary. And after talking to you and getting to know more about your brand, I thought, we have to change that, and we did. But what was very positive about her before profile is that she had 199 connections. That was good. She had 5 absolutely stellar recommendations, and that was really interesting to read. And also, she was on about 15 different groups. But in working with Paula, what was such a delight and what was such a joy is that she really grasped the idea of personal branding and took away with it, took it away. She's an excellent writer, and if you look at her summary statement, as you see on the next slide, she creates little mini stories. In that first paragraph, you can read it after the webinar, but she has a little mini story that she creates about what she did at IBM. And then the following second and third paragraph talks about her future interests. She's been with IBM for 35 years. Say retirement is upcoming, but she has plans of what she wants to do afterwards. And I like the way she ends it with her motto. It's, what you do, is it fun? Why bother doing it? So she really ends her summary on a personal note. So Paula, perhaps you'd like to comment on your process?
Well, I'll say that I agree with the people that came before me. What was interesting for me is that it was a great way to get some very insightful feedback that I wouldn't have gained anyplace else.
And it really helped me to be consistent across many platforms. As you mentioned earlier in your presentation, there's so many different places to put information about yourself. And being able to tell my story now enables me to make that story fly across many different platforms. So thank you, Bernadette.
Okay. I like that expression, fly across the different platforms. Well, I wanted to thank all of you and to the Four Makeovers for agreeing to be so visible. And like I said, it's truly been a joy working with each of you and discovering your personal brand. Well, I wanted to leave you with a few action items. You might want to find your GQ. And again, that link is on the IBM site. And also identify where your LinkedIn profile pops up. Also take inventory of what you have already in your career toolkit, your resume, perhaps you have a bio already. Look at your assessments, references, gather that information. That's kind of good content that you can draw from to write your story or your bio. And then start to write it down. There's lots of tips and tools and examples and resources in the book. But also if you're a do-it-yourselfer, get a bio buddy. Yes. If you're because feedback is really excellent. Find someone, a bio, you know, a buddy that knows you, that can give you feedback on what you write about yourself. So in summary, we covered the impact of storytelling, the brand called you, and we talked a lot about content development, and then you saw some makeovers. So there we have just kind of a summary slide of what we covered on the call today. Gosh, it went by quickly. Well, I wanted to say that I do have a special offer. I'd like to offer a complimentary assessment of your LinkedIn profile for, say, the first 50 or so that respond. And then also I'm offering a discounted makeover package. And just to say that I'd love to hear more about your story. I wanted to thank you all for joining, and I believe now we're going to transition to the Q&A.
Yes, we are, Bernadette. Thank you so very much for all of that marvelous information. It was quite a mouthful, and I'm sure that you'd like just a moment to breathe deep and grab some water. And while we're doing that, operator, if you could please open the lines, and you can ask your questions in two ways. You can post them in the chat room, and our chat room manager will ask those questions on your behalf. Or you can speak your questions by pressing star 1. Operator, if you can just review those instructions.
Yes, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star then 1. You will be prompted to record your first and last name. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, star then 1 to ask a question or make a comment.
And we have about 10, 15 minutes for those questions, so ask away while you have Bernadette still on the phone, just anxious to hear your particular views. Jane, do we have any questions in the chat room?
No.
Okay. Oh, I do see one in the Q&A group, which might not be available for you to see, Jane. Bob Dilly asks, how about security issues?
Oh, you're talking about for LinkedIn? Yes. Well, on your LinkedIn profile, you can set your security settings. And but, I mean, the idea of the so you can change your security settings there. But in terms of I'm not really quite sure about the question.
Bob's question was, and we can move on to another one, but about sharing too much, Bernadette.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought specifically about LinkedIn. Yes, well, what's important when you tell your story, when you write your story, is to not only have it said in your voice, but at your comfort level. And it can be a cultural thing as well. I work with people from different nationalities, and Asians in particular, you know, they're not very willing to tell a lot of information And that's fine. So it has to be at your comfort level. And there's not, so you should write it not only to your target, but, you know, reveal the amount of information that's going to be relevant.
I have another question from Carrie, who asked, do you have any advice for people who have changed their names through marriage, divorce, for example, to have a link between the two?
Okay, that's a good question because I deal with that a lot. Whatever name that you do choose to use professionally, it has to be consistent. And if you find that, for example, Molly is the case, there's lots of Molly Evans. She may want to choose to use her middle name, which I noticed she used when she wrote her bio, because when she was Googled, there are a lot of Molly Evans out there. So whatever name that you do use, it needs to be consistent across you know, all areas or places where your name appears, so your business card, your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook, your resume. And so if it's, say, before you were married, you had a certain name and you want to keep that because professionally you're known by that particular name, then I would suggest keeping the name that's more recognized.
Operator Rick Page and Lonnie Frydenlund would like to ask questions. They've raised their hands in the chat room. Rick, would you like to ask your question?
Please press star then one to ask your question.
Okay, so why don't we move on to a question from Pat. I need to relaunch my career after 8 years at home, previously 20 years at IBM. How do you advise telling the story of raising kids so that it illustrates value?
What was the last two words? That is not...
How do you advise telling the story of raising kids so that it illustrates value?
Okay, so she took an eight-year hiatus to raise a family, which is, you know, perfectly understandable. It's not something that you need to hide. But you can also consider, and again, I don't know the whole story, but perhaps during that 8-year period of time, perhaps she took some courses, maybe a certification, maybe she was involved in some associations where she took a leadership role. You know, that can be messaged as well. Maybe, you know, she took some classes to learn another language. But you can also just, you know, state that the fact that if that's in your comfort level, that you're raising a family.
Stephen Miller asks, how do you become more digitally visible when you have a very common name?
Yes, that's a good question. Back to the name issue. I would suggest if you're digitally dead or not very visible because of your name, to consider using your middle name or your middle initial. That is one way of differentiating yourself from all the other people that have your same name. And then, again, being consistent and using that professionally.
So consistency seems to be the answer to most of our questions here. Elaine Creary asks, I noticed that the LinkedIn summary examples were in third person versus first person. Is there a recommendation on why to use one or the other?
Okay, that's an excellent question. As normally speaking, the bio is written in the third person. Why? Because it sounds like someone is talking about you. And it just sounds more professional. However, there are some, because if you use the first person, then you're constantly using I, and that sounds so self-promoting. So I recommend, for the most part, to write your bio, especially on LinkedIn, because it's a professional, you know, platform, in the third person. However, having said that, I've read a few summary statements on LinkedIn written in the first person that worked. And it was more in cases where the person was, you know, a coach or someone that had a very kind of one-on-one contact with their target, and they wrote it in the first person, and it works. But for the most part, for the purposes of the LinkedIn summary at least, I would highly suggest in the third person. However, in some cases, you're forced to write it in the first person. For example, I mentioned that on Amazon, if you write a review, you have a chance to post your profile or your summary. Well, the lead into your summary on Amazon is they kind of force you to write it in the first person. And that's the case on some other sites as well.
Operator, we seem to have some people who are unable to press star 1 and get you. Could we open the line for Dennis Kavanaugh if you are able to do that?
Yes, Dennis Kavanaugh is in queue. We have approximately 5 participants in queue who have pressed star then 1.
Okay, then why don't we take all of the ones on the phone?
We'll go ahead and do it in order. Dennis Kavanaugh, your line is open.
Sure, this is Dennis Kavanaugh. Just a question for Bernadette. What are your thoughts on using either numbers of years or ages in your summary to avoid either age discrimination, either for those in maybe in a very early career or those who are maybe older? How do you avoid the age discrimination issue with presenting either dates in your summary or numbers of years? I mean, how do you mm-hmm. get around some of those issues?
Right. Well, that's, the beauty of the bio, and I love that expression. The beauty of the bio is that you don't have to put in information that you choose not to include, as opposed to the resume where you're expected to put dates, and, those can be verified in some cases. But for the bio, if you don't want to message the fact that you have a 30-year career, which could be a positive, or it sounds like you're implying that it could be a negative, then you don't have to message that. So your bio does not have to be chronological. If you don't want to include dates, you don't have to. So it's really up to you to craft it, to your comfort level.
Okay, thank you.
Ready for the next call, operator?
Thank you. Eloise Jackson, your line is open.
Oh, hello there. I am wondering, is there a place in social media now where it isn't part of your brand? For example, is your Facebook, does it have to be linked to your LinkedIn? Is this all, sort of pervasive and public, so there's no room for you to post more personal and less business-oriented content and communications?
Well, there is a way to set your Facebook security settings to the maximum, and I was just reading an article, a blog entry about that, and someone said that it took 50 clicks, and it took them an afternoon, and they were pretty tech-savvy, to actually get to the highest level of security settings through Facebook. But it is possible, and to make your Facebook not as visible as, say, your LinkedIn profile. I mean, the reason why you're on LinkedIn is to be visible, to network, to share your contacts. But on Facebook, you can set your security settings so that you're not so visible. But for a lot of professionals, their Facebook is visible, but they keep it very professional. They don't, add any personal photos or family photos. Some people choose to go that route.
Next on cue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lynn Clark. Your line is open.
Hi, Bernadette. This has been helpful. Thank you. What are your thoughts on the endorsements on LinkedIn? How significant are those? Because I know sometimes maybe, people do the, well, I'll write one for you if you write one for me. And, how significant is it that they be, I know, quite frankly, I received one that has some grammatical errors in it, and I'm
I'm not uncomfortable with that because I'm not the one that wrote it, but I don't know if I need to worry about that from a credibility perspective, you know, things like that.
Okay, I'll address that. But you do know that when someone writes a recommendation for you, you get a chance to look at it. So
it seemed a little tacky to tell that person that their grammar, you know what I mean? I didn't feel comfortable editing what they gave me, I guess, because they were doing something kind for me.
Okay. Yeah, well, if it's really blatant, you might want to change that. But, yes, I feel that the recommendations are key. And, you know, I network. I talk to a lot of recruiters and human resource professionals, and they look at those recommendations. But, of course, they have to be authentic and valid and credible. But in terms of a strategy, so to speak, to acquire recommendations, and I cover this in my book. In fact, in my book, I took a screenshot of on LinkedIn where it says to request a recommendation, and I put a big X over it. Why? Because a better strategy is to write one first. It's kind of like a gift, giving it to a colleague or, you know, former manager or former employee, writing them a recommendation first. And then when you give, it comes back to you. It's good karma. But And the last thing you want to do is just send out, you know, a blanket, can you recommend me? I've received those a few times from, you know, someone from my past that I'm really not quite sure what they did or what their position was. And it was just a simple, can you recommend me on LinkedIn? So if you are going to ask for a recommendation, at least give, and this can be outside of LinkedIn as well, give the person something, some content. You don't have to add kudos, but you know, oftentimes it's someone that would love to write you a recommendation, but maybe they don't have the time to quickly put it together, or you know, they can't remember exactly what you did. Maybe it was a few years ago. So you might want to give them a little content. I give you some examples in the book of, you know, how to craft a letter. But say, you know, I realize you're busy. I'd really appreciate if you could write a letter recommendation. This is my title at the time was I. Worked for, you know, this position for so many years, and here's just a few bullet points of, you know, what I did. And they'll take that and they'll really appreciate it. And believe me, you'll get your recommendation, your reference letter quicker if you take that strategy.
Operator, we're going to take it. You have two questions left over on live?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you. We'll take those two and two more in the chat room and close out.
Thank you. Diane Topkis, your line is open.
Thank you. This is very timely, so thank you on this because I was just about to start refreshing my profile this weekend. My question is about, I have two career paths. So one is I'm an independent marketing consultant, and the second is I'm about to launch a new career as a career coach for midlife women. So how do I blend that into one profile? Because I do want to leverage my existing network to reach out and, you know, let people know that this is where I'm focused. At the same time, I am still doing the marketing side. So a little advice on how to set that up?
So we're talking about LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you had two separate targets?
Probably not, because I have a decent size network on LinkedIn, and I'd want to leverage that. I quite honestly don't really need to promote much of my marketing through LinkedIn. I get it through recommendations, personal recommendations.
Mm-hmm. But when people Google you, do you know where your LinkedIn profile appears?
Well, right now it's all about the marketing side. I haven't updated it for the coaching.
Well, if your target for either or both of your ventures, if they're on LinkedIn, then I would message both. It doesn't sound like there's a real conflict between the two ventures that you have.
No, they're not, it's not a conflict. It's just how to make it seem, I don't know, I'm not sure how to do it yet.
Right. Well, I'd be happy to work with you on that. But yes, it does, you know, mean crafting the message appropriately to your two targets. And I mean, it sounds like they're kind of similar. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're at
so separate that you should, you know, have a completely different method for one versus the other. And then your background experience in both areas sounds complementary and mm-hmm. could add more to your credibility if they know about the both of the areas.
Okay, yeah. I understand what you're saying then. Thank you.
Operator, the last call on the phone, please.
Yes, thank you, Adrian Samuels. Your line is open.
Hi, Adrian Samuels from London, UK. I'd be interested to hear any sense of comparison between the before and afters. How did, for example, our four people that had the makeover, how did they find their various incoming communications, job offers, chats, whatever, however informal, however formal?
Sounds like that's a question for some of those makeovers that may still be online.
Hi, Joe, it's Molly Paula. Evans. Floor, can you hear me?
We can, Molly.
Hey, super. Well, seeing as how the makeovers just occurred, for me, it's too early to tell. But the gentleman who just asked the question, I'd love your feedback on, you know, my makeover and whether or not you think that it's, you know, the before and after, the after is stronger. I believe it is. But again, you know, this just occurred, so I don't have any initial feedback to share at this point, but I certainly like the input from those on the call right now.
Okay. Happy to do that. Yeah, just as I'm particularly interested in how concrete we can make this, you know, whether we can put some numbers on it. I don't know whether Bernadette has can give a generalized view, apart from the four, you know, specific folks.
This is Joe, and I'd have to say the same thing as with what Molly just said. It's just occurred. But one thing for me personally, it's sort of changed my mindset about my background and how to promote that. So that's a big plus, and I think that's going to reap some benefits. But I've just planted those seeds, and so I've, you know, got to till the garden a little bit in the job market. But I certainly would appreciate your feedback as well on my update.
Okay. Thanks for your comment.
And Adrian, and I know that I speak for Molly and Joe and certainly Bernadette, they're all on LinkedIn, so I'm sure they'd love to connect with you and hear your feedback after you've had a closer study of their revamped profiles and summaries.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
So I think we're through with the live calls, operator.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I'm just going to refer to one lady who was very persistent with her question, and I don't want her to feel left out, but Elaine Crean said, in online storytelling, where do you draw the line between business and personal? That question might have been asked. It was the difference between business-like on LinkedIn and personal on Facebook, and I'm sure, Bernadette, you're going to say that this is about consistency.
Yes, and also, you know, the fact that if you don't want certain personal information shared, then just change your settings. I think we already addressed that in a previous question.
Yes, I believe you have. I just want to go back to Bernadette's offer because I'm already getting some mails from different people asking about your offer, Bernadette. So if you could just repeat that for those that are still on the line.
Yes. So I'm offering a complimentary LinkedIn assessment for, say, the first 50 or so that respond, and then also a discount on a package that I've put, a makeover package of your LinkedIn profile that I've put together. Which
terrific.
Includes several sessions, the book, the workbook, you know, kind of taking you through the personal branding process, and with more information around LinkedIn in terms of how to use, you know, the applications and the features, you know, tailored to your situation.
So we are now flashing her email, bmartin@visibilitybranding.com. That's bmartin, no S, at visibilitybranding.com. We'll get you all the information about the discounted makeover package and the complimentary assessment of your LinkedIn profile. So we're going to remind you that this is the Greater IBM Connection, and it is your community of former and current employees of IBM, colleagues that you want here in this alumni program, so do invite a friend. The replay of this event will be available from Monday or early morning Tuesday on, and you will find that in the events section on the replays in www.greateribm.com. And before I thank our speaker and our guest makeovers, I want to remind you that we have a very exciting new fan page that's part of the IBM communities, and it's called People for Smarter Planet. And how to get there is look it up on Facebook. People for Smarter Planet is everything you need to know to feel, experience, share, and be able to discuss what IBM means by a smarter planet. They have over 32,000 people that are fans of this page now. And if you're not a member of People for a Smarter Planet, get smart and become a member now. So thank you very much, Bernadette. We are very, very grateful that you have stayed up as late as you have, all the way from Paris, to host this call. Thank you for the very practical expertise that you have shared about LinkedIn profiles and the summaries. And I also want to thank Molly Evans and Joseph Katuki, Christine, who wasn't able to join us, Cluzel from France, as well as Paula Patanella, both for allowing yourselves to be reviewed under the scrutiny of our expert personal brander, and to join us on this call and share your experiences. So thank you all very, very much. We look forward to hearing the feedback, and you'll be able to do that in the Greater IBM forums. And, of course, you will find Bernadette not only through visibilitybranding.com, the name of her company, but also you can find her on LinkedIn. There's also a Greater IBM fan book page, and we want to make sure that you don't forget that. Facebook fan page for Greater IBM, it's growing fast, and we want you all to be part of that page. So Greater IBM, now a fan page. People for a Smarter Planet, also a fan page. Become a fan of both, and meet and share your opinions. Thank you all very much. We're grateful for your time today. And with this, we say goodbye.
Thank you for joining today's conference. That does conclude the call at this time. All participants may disconnect.